A Southern California logistics firm recently spent something like $2 million on this state-of-the-art AI tracking software.
Oh, wow. 2 million.
Yeah, 2 million. Only to realize their operations team was still, you know, writing on Post-it notes and sticking them to their
They're
monitors.
kidding.
I wish I was. They were using them to remind themselves to physically update the new database before they clocked out every day.
That is, well, sadly, that's not actually that surprising.
Right. Today, we are looking at an internal roadmap that explains exactly why throwing expensive software at a supply chain usually, you know, breaks it, and how something called bounded agents are quietly fixing this multi-billion dollar problem of operational friction.
Yeah, that Post-it note scenario, it's the exact paradox we're seeing across the industry right now.
How so?
Well, companies are buying these really sophisticated machine learning platforms,
Right.
right? But the actual flow of data, say, between a warehouse, a third-party logistics provider, and the end customer, it still relies on a human remembering to hit send on an email.
Just a single point of human failure.
Exactly. The structural integrity of the entire supply chain is resting on manual habits, which means the speed of the individual software components is entirely irrelevant.
Okay, let's unpack this. We have our hands on this really fascinating internal strategy document. It's created by a technology firm called Technegian, and it is titled The 2026 Guide to AI Supply Chain Automation for SoCal Businesses.
It's a great read.
It really is. Our mission for this deep dive is to cut straight through the massive industry buzzwords, you know. We want to extract the real practical steps that logistics, manufacturing, and distribution leaders are taking right now to fix those broken workflows using AI agents.
Right, because the theory only goes so far.
Exactly. So whether you are managing a global supply chain moving like thousands of shipping containers through the Port of Long Beach, or you are just trying to organize your own team's messy project handoffs, we are going to reveal how the right automation turns pure chaos into a repeatable operating habit.
I think the true value of this source is that it acts as almost like an operational diagnosis.
The di
Yeah. The guide makes this highly counterintuitive point right out the gate. It says most organizations in 2026 do not struggle because they lack tools.
Right, it's not a software shortage.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
We are drowning in software.
Yeah.
The actual disease they're fighting is what the document categorizes simply as friction.
Friction. It's a broad term though.
It is.
I mean, in a complex logistics network where you have legacy ERP systems, modern APIs, international vendors all colliding, how does Technegian actually quantify that friction?
Well, the guide breaks it down into very recognizable mechanical symptoms. Friction is the daily spreadsheet handoff.
Ugh, the spreadsheets.
Right. It is the reality that data sits in one isolated system, a human exports a CSV file, emails it to another department, and then a second human manually reformats that data.
Just to upload it into a warehouse management system.
Exactly. Friction is unclear alerts where a system flags a delay, but nobody knows who is supposed to interpret that alert or, take action.
So it's like buying a state-of-the-art smart home security system, but still leaving Post-it notes on the fridge, reminding your family to lock the front door.
That's a perfect analogy.
The tools are there, right, but the connective tissue between them is completely broken.
Yeah, and ultimately, it results in highly paid staff spending their entire day chasing down routine status questions instead of, actually managing logistics.
The endless just following up on the status of that invoice loops.
Exactly.
So the business is essentially asking humans to act as the API bridge between disconnected software.
And that human API bridge is inherently fragile. I mean, we connect this to the bigger picture. When staff are forced to rely on manual effort to bridge those gaps, it creates a fog of uncertainty for leadership.
Because you can't see what's actually happening in real time.
Right. You cannot forecast quarterly revenue or steer a company if the location of your inventory relies on an unread email in a warehouse manager's inbox.
Oh, wow.
But beyond the internal chaos, the guide draws a direct mathematical line from this internal friction to external revenue loss.
Okay, I want to push back on that slightly.
Sure.
I completely understand how internal spreadsheet chaos annoys the IT department, right? And it obviously frustrates the operations manager. But how does an internal data lag actively affect a customer buying a product?
Because buyers in a hyper-competitive market like Southern California notice the lag immediately.
Really? They can feel it.
Oh, absolutely. The document warns that customers actively measure your reliability based on your digital experience. If your back-end operations are held together by manual handoffs, your customer experiences slow answers to availability queries. They see inconsistent proof of delivery. The guide argues that a two-hour delay in answering a vendor status question actively erodes trust.
And it pushes buyers to competitors whose automated systems feel instant and reliable.
Exactly. So the friction isn't just an IT problem. It is an active revenue killer.
Okay, so if the connective tissue is that severely broken and it's costing the business deals, the natural reflex for a lot of senior leaders would be to just declare bankruptcy on the old process.
Burn it all down.
Right. You want to scrap the legacy systems and buy a massive new AI platform to autonomously run the entire operation from end to end.
Which is a huge temptation.
But the strategy document warns that this is a fatal mistake, right?
It is the fastest route to a multi-year IT failure.
Wow.
Yeah. Ripping out legacy systems to install an omnipotent AI brain, it ignores the reality of how businesses actually function.
So what's the alternative?
Instead of a massive overhaul, the implementation roadmap demands a highly specific, narrow first step. It dictates that businesses must start with what they call bounded agent workflows.
Bounded agent workflows. Okay, let's define the mechanics of that. Wait, so we aren't letting AI run the whole warehouse in 2026. Why just bounded workflows? Isn't the whole promise of generative AI that it can do everything at once? Why are we putting training wheels on the technology?
Because the philosophy here is that intelligence is only valuable when it is applied safely and predictably.
Safely and predictably.
Okay, the guide states that the first phase of any automation must be narrow enough to complete and important enough to matter.
Narrow enough to complete, important enough to matter. I like that.
Yeah, the goal isn't to replace the human supply chain manager. The goal is to build bounded agents that restrict the AI's responsibilities to very specific, highly definable tasks.
Like what, specifically?
Primarily exception triage, document review, generating alerts, and preparing data for human approval.
Okay, I want to understand how that actually looks under the hood.
Okay.
Let's use exception triage as an example. What is a bounded agent mechanically doing when a shipping error occurs?
Well, let's say a shipment arrives at a facility and the bill of lading does not match the initial purchase order.
Okay.
In a human-operated workflow, that document sits in a pile until someone notices the discrepancy, figures out who the vendor is, and emails them.
Which could take hours or days.
Exactly. A bounded AI agent, however, uses optical character recognition, OCR, to scan the incoming document the second it is uploaded.
Instantaneous.
Right. It instantly pings the legacy ERP system via an API to cross-reference the expected weight and item count. And when it spots the anomaly, it doesn't just flag it.
What does it do?
It drafts a pre-written query detailing the exact discrepancy and routes it directly to the specific warehouse manager's dashboard before the delivery truck even leaves the dock.
Oh, wow. So it's less like hiring an omnipotent robotic CEO to run the company and more like installing a highly sensitive smart circuit breaker.
Yes.
The agent isn't deciding how to wire the entire warehouse. It's just sitting on one specific digital wire, watching for a voltage spike in the customs data and shutting off the flow while instantly alerting a human to reset it.
That captures the methodology perfectly. The guide argues that the strongest signal of success in these early stages isn't perfection across the whole company.
It's not about being flawless everywhere.
No, it is controlled progress. You use the bounded agent to eliminate the manual follow-up we talked about earlier. By doing this, you improve visibility when an exception occurs, which builds operational trust with your staff.
Because they aren't being overwhelmed.
Right. They learn to trust the AI's alerts because the scope is narrow and the output is highly reliable.
But let's say a company successfully deploys that circuit breaker. The bounded agent is scanning documents, the alerts are firing, the API is talking to the ERP, the initial friction is solved. Mm-hmm. The guides suggest that this exact moment of early success is actually a massive danger zone for the company.
It really is. It is the moment of highest vulnerability because leadership often falls victim to a psychological trap.
Okay.
The guide has an entire section on common mistakes to avoid, and the primary mistake is treating AI agent implementation as a one-time single task.
Just checking the box.
Yes. Executives see the new dashboard working, they check the project off their list, and they move on to the next fire.
Here's where it gets really interesting. They treat a dynamic system like a static piece of furniture. It's like buying a treadmill, putting it in your living room, and checking off get fit on your to-do list. Buying the tool isn't the outcome.
Precisely. You have to keep running on it. The source insists this must become a continuous operating discipline.
Right.
A one-time AI integration might streamline document review for a month, but what happens when a third-party logistics vendor updates their software portal?
Or when a new internal compliance tool is introduced.
Exactly. Without ongoing ownership and review, the AI agent will break, the API connections will fail, and the staff will immediately revert to using spreadsheets and manual emails to bridge the new gap.
The document takes that warning a step further, calling out a second major mistake, which is measuring activity instead of measuring outcomes.
Yes, this is huge.
Now, this sounds like standard corporate consulting advice at first glance, but the implications for AI are actually quite deep. We are talking about highly complex, invisible background processes. How does Technogian suggest leaders actually measure the success of an AI agent scanning documents in the background?
The guide provides a very specific list of outcome metrics that shift the focus entirely away from IT vanity numbers.
Like what?
Well, you shouldn't be measuring how many documents the AI processed or how many API calls are made.
Because that's just activity.
Right. You should be looking at response time reductions, conversion rates, risk reduction, fewer support tickets, and cleaner operational reporting.
Okay, I understand measuring support tickets, but I have to challenge the idea of measuring conversion rates based on back-end AI triage.
Fair enough.
Tracking conversion rate attribution back to a supply chain efficiency is, you know, notoriously difficult. Mm. If a customer signs a new contract, how does a logistics leader mathematically prove that the new bounded AI agent was the reason for that closed deal?
The guide approaches this by isolating the baseline variables. It advises businesses to separate their measurement efforts into two distinct categories.
Okay.
Urgent fixes and maturity improvements.
Urgent fixes being
the immediate fires. Security gaps, compliance issues, or direct customer complaints about late deliveries. If an AI agent reduces your average vendor response time from 24 hours to 15 minutes, you map that directly against the quarterly churn rate of your vendor network.
Oh, I see. You correlate the speed of the back-end resolution directly to the retention rate of the partners experiencing those resolutions.
Yes, you can see the immediate impact. Maturity improvements, on the other hand, are long-term plays.
What falls under that?
This is where you measure how the underlying governance and reporting structure gets stronger over time. You are tracking the reduction in overall risk exposure and the improvement in lead quality as your operational reputation solidifies in the market.
If tracking these outcomes requires this level of discipline, the strategy guide's hard pivot away from the software and toward the human side of the equation makes total sense.
It's the only way it works.
We need to look at who is actually holding the bag when this system inevitably hits a roadblock.
Accountability is the cornerstone of this entire roadmap. The source insists on a very specific internal alignment structure to ensure these outcomes are met.
And what is that structure?
Every single AI initiative, no matter how small, must have two owners, one business owner and one technical owner.
Wait, why do we need two owners? Doesn't splitting the responsibility just create a too many cooks in the kitchen situation where nobody is actually in charge?
They can feel that way.
I mean, in the real world, dual ownership usually means a vicious budget tug of war. The tech lead says the API integration needs 3 more months of testing for stability, and the business lead says the company is bleeding money and needs the automation live yesterday.
Right, that's the classic clash.
How does the guide prevent the tech lead from just overriding the business lead when system limitations inevitably arise?
What's fascinating here is that the guide views this dual ownership not as a division of labor, but as a structural hierarchy of purpose.
Hierarchy of purpose. Explain that.
The business owner's job is strictly to define why the project matters. They dictate the necessary outcomes, the response times, the risk reduction.
Okay.
The technical owner defines how to achieve it safely. The safeguard is that the technical execution must constantly serve the business why.
So the technology serves the outcome, not the other way around.
Yes. By pairing them together, you prevent the project from becoming too abstract, which happens when only business leaders are involved. And it prevents it from becoming so hyper-technical that leadership can no longer evaluate if it is actually generating revenue.
That makes a lot of sense.
The guide also emphasizes straightforward documentation to maintain this alignment. It suggests a practical checklist, a short summary of decisions made, and a verification log.
So when people leave or teams change, it's not lost.
Exactly. The new team doesn't have to restart the entire discovery process from scratch.
But those internal outcomes and structures mean nothing if your third-party logistics vendor is still, like, faxing their updates or refusing to integrate.
The dreaded fax machine.
Yes. How does the guide suggest we force external partners into this new bounded framework? Because if I'm hiring an outside firm to build these AI agents, I need to know the ground rules.
The guide has zero tolerance for vague vendor relationships. It stresses the absolute necessity of strict partner accountability.
Meaning what, exactly?
You must define the deliverables, the reporting cadence, the access boundaries, meaning what specific data the vendor's AI is legally allowed to touch, and the escalation steps for when an agent hallucinates or an API fails.
What happens when the vendor sends over their monthly progress report and it reads like a dense textbook on machine learning architecture? I've seen those reports. They are unreadable.
The source states as a hard rule that leadership should never have to decode technical notes to understand if the supply chain automation is working.
Thank goodness.
Right. Strong partner accountability requires plain language reporting. The vendor must act as a translator. They have to connect their implementation details directly to the business outcomes. If they cannot explain how their specific code adjustment reduced your risk or improved your conversion path in simple English, they are failing as a partner.
They need to translate the code into commerce.
Exactly.
I also noticed the source grounds a lot of these recommendations in external frameworks. It specifically calls out the NIST AI risk management framework.
Yes, that's a crucial detail.
Why introduce federal standards into a local SoCal logistics setup?
The National Institute of Standards and Technology framework, NIST, is critical here because it explains how to handle the risks of AI mechanically.
Because we aren't just dealing with basic software bugs anymore.
Right. When an AI agent scans a customs document, it is processing highly sensitive data. The NIST framework ensures that the bounded agent doesn't accidentally ingest personally identifiable information and, say, leak it into a public vendor portal.
Or use it to train an external language model.
Exactly. It provides the mathematical and structural guidelines for data siloing, bias testing, and security, which is non-negotiable when integrating your internal systems with third-party vendor networks.
Okay, so we have diagnosed the friction, mapped out the mechanical reality of bounded agents, debated the difficulty of measuring outcomes, and established the dual ownership structure to keep vendors in check.
We've covered a lot of ground.
We really have. But we have to address the boardroom reality.
The budget.
Exactly. How does a logistics director actually justify the budget for this right now? Especially in Orange County, where real estate, labor, and operational costs are constantly squeezing margins.
The guide offers a brilliant maneuver for the budget conversation. It flips the traditional financial perspective entirely on its head.
How so?
Usually, leadership looks at a proposal for custom AI development, and they just stare at the upfront price tag.
Right, they see the $2 million and panic.
Exactly. The guide demands that the very first budget discussion must ignore the cost of the software and instead focus entirely on the cost of inaction.
So what does this all mean? How do you actually calculate the cost of doing nothing?
You calculate it by looking at the mechanical friction we discussed in Section 1.
Right.
The guide forces leaders to define your baseline by asking specific questions.
Like what?
What is the exact mathematical cost of having your operations team spend 2 hours every single day manually cross-referencing spreadsheets instead of negotiating better freight rates?
Oh, that's a powerful question.
What happens to your customer churn if this specific data lag remains unresolved for another quarter?
You are reframing the baseline. The baseline assumption for most executives is that doing nothing costs nothing.
Right.
But the reality is the baseline is actively losing money every single day through inefficiency.
That is the core insight. Weak execution quietly erodes trust. It damages your search visibility because your digital customer experience is poor, and it lowers lead quality. Inaction is not a neutral state. Inaction is an active daily choice to damage the baseline of the business. You have to quantify what operational impact you are currently bleeding before you can understand the return on the AI investment.
You have to know the size of the hole in the boat before you argue over the price of the patch.
Exactly.
If there is no baseline documented, no record of how many manual spreadsheet handoffs occur per week, or how many hours are lost to routine status inquiries, the business team will have an impossible time proving whether the bounded AI agent actually worked.
Or justifying the budget to expand its scope later on. This is why the initial discovery phase is so vital. It creates the concrete mathematical floor that all future AI maturity is measured against.
This brings the entire Technigian strategy into sharp focus. We started by diagnosing the actual disease, the mechanical friction of spreadsheet handoffs and disconnected systems acting as a drag on revenue. We learned that the cure isn't burning the legacy systems down, but installing the precision of bounded AI agents to act as highly sensitive circuit breakers, scanning documents and querying APIs before errors cascade.
And we examined the dangers of treating automation as a one-time activity rather than a continuous operating discipline. And of course, the necessity of measuring hard business outcomes over IT vanity metrics.
We defined the human safety net of dual ownership, pairing the business why with the technical how to prevent a budget tug of war. And we completely reframed the financial conversation around the very real, very dangerous cost of inaction.
It's a really comprehensive roadmap.
It truly is. Whether you are listening right now as a leader evaluating a multi-million-dollar supply chain software vendor, or you are just trying to use AI to automate your own daily team alerts, the rule remains exactly the same. Define your baseline, start small with bounded workflows, and prove the improvement with plain language outcomes.
You know, this strategy guide raises one final lingering question about the near future of commerce.
What's that?
The document makes it clear that using AI agents to bridge these disconnected systems is rapidly transitioning from a neat competitive advantage into the basic baseline for operational trust.
It is becoming the table stakes for doing business.
Precisely. So if bounded AI agents are destined to become the invisible connective tissue of all successful supply chains by 2026, what happens to the companies that still rely on humans to manually pass the baton?
That's a scary thought.
Will a human-operated workflow be viewed by the market as a bespoke luxury? Or will it be seen by customers, vendors, and partners as an entirely unacceptable operational liability?